We only have 5 seconds.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out. Go by on the fly. I don't have enough time to watch this summary of the movie Gremlins.
If you put in the words "are gremlins" into Google, the first autocomplete suggestion is "are gremlins real?" So I feel like America, the world, has similar questions that we should answer at some point in today's show.
Do you think that our committed viewership is tired of me pointing out how we start every show with some outdated reference? Like, it's not intentional. We don't plan it. I think it's just that we're old guys and somehow... And then this one, I think, is the most defensible because who knows how we get. I don't remember our other
it's
one.
In
who
knows how we get to those topics, it's in the news cycle.
Talking about the Steven Spielberg classic Gremlins from the 80s, in the 90s. I'm sure they had some sequels in the 90s. Probably. Maybe. Why is,
a reboot feels like it's overdue, by the way.
Oh,
at this point.
Starring Antonio Brown. He could be the little kid in the movie.
That's what this all is.
Yeah, it's just it was all a big. SpawnCon for the upcoming
Super Gremlins.
Upcoming Gremlins reboot.
Alabaster's already mad at us.
Wow.
What did we
Record
do?
Record time.
The new batch. What?
Wow.
So. All right. I don't know where Antonio Brown stands. Oh, no, I think he settled
Can
most
we
of
get
cases.
Credit for this? Can we be on the Chiron on SportsCenter for this?
I don't think so. If it was already there before we came up with this, unless
Debatable
it was announced.
Debatable cracks the Gremlins conspiracy. Exclamation point. That's a thing.
There,
they put exclamation points on the Chiron
for him
the
in the
line,
movie.
Right?
Like, I feel like there should be a cameo for him and a cameo for Kodak Black. Like, they need movie cameos.
Yes.
Oh, 100%. It should be like, you know how in some movies they have what sounds like the background movie music playing, but it's really being played, like Something About Mary, how they have the band in the movie playing.
Oh,
yeah. It should be Kodak Black and Antonio Brown singing Super Gremlins in the background as it plays the track.
Do you think that they would want to be Gizmo? Or do you think that it's a fight to see who is Gizmo? Or do you think it's a fight to see who is not Gizmo? Because Gizmo... cute hero, like.
So I also am learning in the last 10 to 15 minutes that there are good and evil gremlins.
We're not calling anybody evil. Have you not learned that?
Oh,
like
that's
this
right.
is there are gremlins who are suffering from different variations of different things. And those are gremlins that we pray for. And not gremlins that we laugh at or call evil.
That's right. The spectrum.
All we're allowed to do is pray for the gremlins.
That's it. All we can do is pray for the gremlins. We cannot point out that gremlins have a long track record of messing stuff up. We can't do that. We just have to pray for them.
Nope. We can't talk about the people that gremlins have hurt along the way and have never really
the high
been
rate
accountable
of,
for it all.
Of recidivism in gremlins. Let's move on. Wow. 2022, starting with a new sassier Alabaster. Interjecting, telling us that this is boring already. Alabaster, okay, fine. Yes, hey, welcome back to Debatable. Is that what you want me to say? Welcome back to Debatable, the fake television show where we debate gremlins. Is that what you want me to say or not say? Alabaster,
I think
he
doesn't want you
to
say gremlins. I think he wants us away from gremlins.
That was wonderful. That was a great tease. You guys ready for the first topic that sort of involves gremlins?
Why not? Pablo, Dominique, Gojo, give it to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dominique, you can take the wheel here. What do you make of Antonio Brown's meltdown?
I thought we just did all the analysis we needed. Like, I don't know.
Now,
like,
ready for the next one.
I got to be completely honest with you. So last week, we had to fill a lot of television time. So on two different shows, First Take and Get Up, I was asked the very pointed question, can you trust Antonio Brown going forward? And I was shocked that I was the only person that was like, nah. Me and Marcus Spears went at it. Me and Sam Acho went at it. Me and a number of people went at it. And they was like, no. But when he's on the field, them routes is crisp. And I was thinking that he has a long history of making poor decisions off the field, maybe, but it always bleeds into the locker room. I'm pretty sure the Patriots would point to that. I'm pretty sure the Steelers would point to that. I'm pretty sure that every team he's ever played for, well, even the teams he did not play for, like the Raiders, who he was on but never played for.
The last time he was shirtlessly running, declaring his freedom, by the way, a thing he had done with that team you just mentioned, the Raiders, so, incidentally.
Anyway, my point is that added an extra bit of, I guess, comedy for me. Because I went from 3 days ago saying, no, you can't trust him. He's a loose cannon. Who knows what he's going to do? To then getting my red zone broken into by a shirtless Antonio Brown doing jumping jacks across the field into the locker room and throwing his stuff into the stands. I don't know. I wasn't laughing at him because, we got to be compassionate and all that stuff. I was just laughing at the fact that it came to fruition so quickly.
Well, Gojo, it does feel like we should be clear that none of us want to be those guys in the documentary who are shown in the montage of assholes laughing before a brain scan emerges on screen, yes, right? Like, yes. I don't want our Gremlins monologues to be in the movie in that way.
No, I do. The Gremlins, I'm proud of the Gremlins monologue.
Yeah, no,
the rest of the
that
stuff
deserves its place in the annals of
no,
history.
You're right. This is all going to be.
Give us credit for that.
This is all going to be the post-credit scene in Gremlins 3, actually. It's going to be very postmodern, very existential. We're still using those words in 2022. But no, it's hard. It's hard because we want to be not reckless. We want to act with foresight. We want to be all the things that Antonio Brown is not, which means acknowledging that, yes, mental health is running all through this. We think. We don't know this, but we think it.
I don't even want to say I think it because I don't know it. Like, and this is my thing. It's like, I understand we want to lead with empathy in most things. Like, I think the three of us on this have kind of borne that out over a pretty long track record that.
Yeah, big snowflakes over here. Huge snowflakes.
Yeah, I'm going to say a bunch of bleeding hearts over here. Like, that's been out here on State Street. But I just wonder why this is the one where we want to go immediately to this route here. Because the real story of Antonio Brown is a person who's never been held accountable for anything he's done. Like, that is Antonio Brown's story, right? Is this is a guy that, because of incredible ability, has never really been held accountable in a way that sticks or would force him to change what he does?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I would argue that he's been held accountable. I think that's the argument for why people would say it's mental health issues, is he has been held accountable. There have been consequences to a lot of things that he's done, but they have not changed his behavior. So, like, I mean, I'm thinking about all the money he's lost from wilding out on particular teams. Like, was it $30 million that he was guaranteed by the Raiders? I mean, gone.
And,
I don't know.
And then,
the
but then he turned around and he got 12 from the Patriots that year.
And then he didn't get all of that either. Gone. Like, to me, it feels like that is why people point to mental health, because they can't make some sort of logical conclusion. Like, lying about your vax card. I don't know the proper mental health terminology for that, but it seems like that could fall under that also. Throwing furniture out the window. All that can fall under that. So I think there are two conversations. Yes, he needs help. And like you said, Gojo, we got to pray for him. But also, accountability. Like, there's accountability. Yeah, being incredibly accused of sexual assault. Like, mental health, that's a crime.
Right. So these felonious acts, and I say that both allegedly and literally, right? These are legal crimes that he has committed, pled no contest to in the case that Dominique had referenced. Also, the vax card, which is something that is, quite honestly, as sirens blare outside my own window to give me a soundtrack for this point, truly indefensible. Like, get that guy all the way out of here for that reason alone. None of those things are why he is no longer a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. And so when Gojo is talking about accountability, I think that's part of the story, right? Like, this is about Bruce Arians and Tom Brady keeping this guy around until, I guess, there was, I don't know, like, what metaphor were we using? A straw on a camel's back? What, I don't know what the tipping point is.
I think it's embarrassment.
Was, but maybe it's humiliation. Yes, maybe it's that.
Yeah, I think that's it. He, like, made a spectacle and a fool of them. And that's what the final straw was. If this happened in a locker room or something, they would have likely figured a way around this. The fact that he just made a fool of them, and maybe he wasn't coming back himself. Like, it suggests to me that Bruce Arians can say he played his final day, but that don't seem like that was Bruce Arians' decision. Like, I feel like AB was like, you know what? I ain't on this team no more. Like, what made Bruce think not that he thought this, but what made Bruce or anyone think that AB was going to show up at the facility on Monday morning like, what's cracking, guys? Am I still the ex?
Yeah.
Like, he walked for Costanza. To make another really old reference that most people won't get.
He didn't even have the decency to do the Vontae Davis where it's like, we going for halftime, y'all go back that way, I'm going to go this way. That would have been respectable. It's like, nah, he walked out on the field, took off all his clothes, made a fool of everyone, including himself, jumping jacked across the Meadowlands end zone and hopped in an Uber, which he started releasing social media from, dropped the rap song, like, ugh.
By the way, I will say this.
Rap song? I hate people who say rap song.
You just said rap song.
Yeah, you did.
You just said rap
song. A rap song?
As we continue to age in front of the nation.
Drop the rap song? I said drop the rap song? Gosh, I'm old.
Jeez. I'm. By the way, I've never
You can
listen.
Watch this show on the YouTube.
To be fair,
you can watch this show, like, listen to it as a podcast.
Before this show started, I am old. I'm the oldest one here, and I accept that. I'm probably older than my age suggests. But when we started this show, before the show started, Pablo was having his normal tech difficulties, as he is known to do. But Pablo also said, is being a gremlin a good thing? And I said, as the young person that I am, I think somebody got a song called Gremlins or something. It's something that they're doing. And then Gojo was like, Kodak Black. So if we're hierarchying things than I am. I knew it was a song. Gojo knew who it was by. Kodak Black, interesting looking fella.
Dominique, you were like trying to turn the car around and then you said hip things and the car landed in another ditch. You went from rap song to hip thing. Hip thing is how you describe the genre of thing we are now trying to prove our credibility with. And by the way, I will never listen to that rap song for the record. Like I will Google Gremlins for apparently way longer than anybody on this show wants me to, but I'm never listening to that thing, man. Sorry.
Just because you don't want to put money in his pocket? Is that why? Is that the
point? I just don't have the curiosity, and I have curiosity about pretty much everything. If you lose me,
so it's not. I worry more about the secondhand embarrassment of it.
Sorry, Gojo, get it.
I just said I worry more about the secondhand embarrassment of listening to it than anything else. Like, that's the part I can't take.
So neither of you have listened to it? I'm the only idiot who's put money into Antonio Brown's pocket?
Well, like, that's Dominique, if I can assuage some of your fear about that with streaming, it's such a minimal amount of money that you're actually putting into the pocket. The value, the music system monetization things flip, so you're good.
Look at you. Hey, man said monetization. Let's put that on a list of words that you can say when you want to sound smart.
And the word that Pablo is now going to say before the end of the show.
Yes, I love Pablo's mansion of a brain with unlocked doors. Oh. It's so amazing. You just throw a word in a window, and you, at some point, I think it's coming back out later on. So let's figure out when it's coming back.
It's been planted. I can sense it sprouting. It's coming back.
I mean, I had curiosity. You had no curiosity. The thing that hit me that made me curious was as soon as I heard that he had a song, it made me think that this was all a marketing contrivance. Ooh. And I went to listen to the song to see if he like presaged this outburst or if he had some bars in there referencing how he quit in the second half or that he just ran and recorded just now. Like, that had me curious. I listened to the song. Maybe you are surprised. Maybe you aren't surprised. Antonio Brown, not a lyricist.
Well, Dominique, like, there's fuel to that fire. There's fuel to that fire, too, once we saw him on, that driver in New York?
Yeah, the Uber to other NFL players. Not an Uber driver, I guess, although maybe he is also one, but a guy who drives other NFL players that apparently AB is friends with, who has now been doing a media tour of his own.
I'm young.
Yeah.
I gave an accurate assessment of his rap song. No bars. He got no bars, like he's in the middle of the woods with his cell phone. That's a good one. I could write a rap. He's barless.
voice memo bars. Just yelling into the backseat of an Uber.
Can you hear me now?
Alabaster.
Oh my God.
Our references just keep getting
again.
Over.
What were you?
I was getting ready to make an Austin Powers Amazing. Reference before talking about Dominique, too.
Both of you are laughing at me. One of you, give me a better analogy or metaphor and make it rhyme.
Can you hear me? Is that a cell phone commercial from the 90s is where we went
it's
with
all
that?
Right. It's okay. Maybe my bars are not for these kids. I got bars for grown-ups.
Grown-up bars.
He really is Dr.
These are weed brownies over here. These are not kitty bars. These are grown-up bars.
Yeah, velvet really seats in the grown-up bar. Yeah. Alabaster has thrown down a card that says producer interjection.
To get in my grown-up bars.
So it's actually a follow-up question. Is Tom Brady sort of getting off scot-free from this? This is a real question because he sort of brought Antonio Brown in and brought him into his house and onto this team.
Is he getting off Scotty Miller free? Good question.
Dominique's addicted to bad bars now.
Yeah. These bars are not bad. You're just too young. You're not old enough for these bars.
And people say weed brownies aren't addictive. Look at you.
Clearly, I've had one or two before this has started, apparently.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Did Tom Brady get away with something here because he came out in this press conference preaching the religion of compassion and empathy? Yes. And it's not to say that he's wrong to preach that because, again, I think Tom Brady is probably trying to be one of the good guys in the documentary, as I have now framed it. But he also is responsible for this, right? I mean, this is the guy that he co-signed over and over again, despite the many good reasons to not co-sign him. And if I have any message, I guess, for everybody arguing about this, it's that, this is a conversation we can have now, but it's only happening now because, I don't know, our memory is that of a goldfish. Like, we've had versions of this before. I have exhausted all of my righteousness about this, like, months ago. We're just back here because Antonio Brown realized that maybe the thing that runs the entire internet is not like likes or retweets, but engagement. Yeah. And now we're just arguing and engaging. He is the internet made flesh.
The scot-free Tom Brady of it. I mean, I'm fine with being critical of Tom Brady because he is the one who has vouched for him. But to me, it feels like he kind of got what he deserved. Like, this didn't affect anybody else except for that team. So, like, I would be more upset with Tom Brady if the power that he has given to Antonio Brown was wielded in such a way that it injured some other parties. Like, it cost Tom Brady and that team the most. Like, that's what we told them. Like, at some point, it's going to hurt you. And so I guess that's where I come down on it. Like, if we found out that his non-vaxxing coming up with fabricated cards, like, was the catalyst to some big epidemic, that's a different story. Then I feel like you have to be critical of Tom Brady for giving him power. If there are some other credible accusations from people in the organization or people in Tampa, like, then I feel like you have to be on Tom Brady for giving him this power. But what Antonio Brown actually did, it's kind of hilarious, and no one actually got hurt. Like, the worst thing that happened was they had to come back on the lowly Jets.
Well, and in this case, like, no one got hurt this time, right? Like, and that's been the issue with Antonio Brown's past instances, is we know there's been worse here. That's what makes the dismount here kind of unsavory to a lot of people, because, you know, and again, this is the football part of it, where he finally messed with the thing that was keeping him going this entire time, which was extraordinary football ability, whereas the outside world looks at this and goes, man, shouldn't that other stuff have been enough? But, like, I don't know, at some point, if we believe that the NFL is going to operate that way, despite the many examples we've seen to the contrary, at some point that seems to be on us for expecting better of something that's proven time and time again is not really capable of it. Because, like, the thing that people would want to hold Tom Brady or the Bucs or anyone accountable for signing him back here isn't the notion that, like, anyone disputes second chances, but that this is once again a guy who was given a chance not based on any sort of, like, at least progress or remorse or bettering himself that we can see or know of. It is strictly about ability. The guy can still play football really well at a place where they needed that ability. And so everyone who keeps giving him chances along that route reinforces that idea that second chances aren't something that come based on having to earn it, based on having to go and show true remorse or contrition. You just need to be really good at something that people value.
Have value, yeah. I mean, I think that – sorry, go ahead, Pablo.
No, I was going to say, I mean, so let's – put brass tacks on this, right? Like,
ooh, brass tacks.
Do we think that Antonio Brown is done in the NFL? Because I believe he will be playing football somewhere next season. That is my prediction.
No. How? Who?
How?
Where? Like, I can't.
I don't know.
Maybe we're too close to it, but I cannot imagine a scenario. Like, if you are a team on the brink, you think AB is going to get you over the top, you recognize that he brings a lot of other foolishness and you don't want to rely on him, because it also seems this particular breakdown, is meltdown is what we're calling it, it kind of also coincides with him having a good game and then becoming more reliant on him again. So anyone who's going to bring him in, you will only bring a player like this in if you absolutely needed him. Okay, it appears that when you absolutely need him is when that, like, empowers him to be at his worst. So I'm not, and maybe I'm giving too much logic.
Why are you using logic? Yes. Everything you're saying is accurate. None of it makes sense.
It does not survive.
We've established. No, it survives the one test that matters. The one test that matters is, can he still play football, Dominique? And is he in jail right now?
Well, but
those are questions that are yes and no, respectively.
But Pablo, the one thing is, this time he finally messed with the football, right? Yeah. All the rest of these problems have been issues that have taken place off the field, things that have been legal, things that have been away from football. Like, he finally violated between the lines. And as we've seen, again, that's the one place that really matters enough to make a decision that actually would say, hey, you don't play football here anymore.
I mean, I think nobody wanted him before.
This was a Tom Brady market.
Like, he went to New England because one of the most powerful people in the game vouched for him. He burned that bridge, apparently. And you're also assuming that he wants to play. Like, why are we assuming this? Why are we pretending like Bruce Arians has made some type of stand? The man took off everything he could without showing his goods and walked into the locker room and left it on the field. Literally, he left it all on the field. I'm pretty sure that Antonio Brown retired before they could fire him. Like, that's what happened. So why do you think that someone's going to lure him back onto the field? It doesn't seem like he wants to be there. He is now a professional rap artist.
Well, because remember, too, speaking of not wanting to be there, like, he was very close to about, what, $1 million of bonus money based on various benchmarks that he could have met based on that level of production. So,
yes. Yes. I mean, look, I agree with everything you guys are saying. It's insane. I just think all of that could have been said. The bottom line of, man, I think this guy doesn't want to play football. I think he wants to do other things now. I think he's done with the game. I think he is a totally unreliable character. Maybe you're right. Maybe the leaving in the middle of a game is the bridge beyond which he cannot cross back over. I'm betting that bridge can be crossed back over.
I don't remember him doing or saying anything that suggests that he didn't want to play anymore. Like, he made it a point that maybe he didn't want to play in Oakland or Las Vegas. He made that clear, but he never said he didn't want to play anymore. What he did today or yesterday seemed like he didn't want to play anymore. But I don't know. I want to go back to something that Gojo brought up a second ago about, like, people looking at the NFL and, frankly, looking at any business as if it is a person and, like, having these expectations of a moral center. Like, I remember I played with a lot of really good players, and they say smart things sometimes. They say a lot of dumb things, too. But one of the smart things that they said, I don't know where they got it from, but it was that you can't love anything that doesn't love you back. Meaning, as much as we say, like, we love football, you can't start personifying a game and having affection for a game that cannot return it to you. So, like, games, businesses, they cannot be human. So don't expect them to be. And I think we get ourselves in a dangerous place when the leagues or the businesses start to portray themselves as something with values that are higher than money when it's clear that that's not true, or higher than success when it's clear that's not true. We have these expectations of them that they cannot fulfill. Like, it to me, yes. If I like ask my 10-year-old, or she's 11 now, my 11-year-old daughter, like, hey, do my taxes. Like, that would be unfair of me to have these expectations of her. Like, that to me is what, like, so many of us do with these things that we really enjoy. We're like, oh, we love them. So, yes, of course we can have expectations that the NFL is going to, like, respond to issues of justice properly. Of course the NFL is going to put player health and safety above the revenue. Of course the NBA is going to put human rights in China above their money. Like, no, stop it. Adam Silver is not special. I mean, Roger Goodell is not special. There's not a most liberal league or most conservative league. Like, these are all businesses trying to get caked up. And once you realize that, it'll be a lot easier for you to enjoy these games.
You just brought up the most important part, though. I think the reason we get tricked on this is because they smartly put a human face out in front of all this, right? If it were just the shield releasing statements or just the logo releasing statements, it'd be one thing. But they send Roger up there, and they send Adam Silver up there, and everyone sends a person. They send a human being up there to say it. And so we wrongly assume that human beings are making these decisions and not money and not ambition and not the ultimate goal. Like, morality is not incentivized here. Doing whatever it takes to win is the thing that's incentivized, because it gives everyone in there and what they want.
And they try to sell it to us also, because I think they understand that something that we all understand, that emotions are more powerful than reason. So if they try to give you well-reasoned argument to buy any product, you're going to be like, oh, okay, that's boring. Like, if we said commercials that were just a white screen with a bunch of words that just gave us the argument for why you should buy X over Y, that would be a lot less powerful than if they have a mom, a single mom who's under a lot of pain and is crying, but this product that you have provided saved her and her son's Christmas. Then you're going to have some sort of emotional attachment to that. It's us being stupid and them being manipulative.
No, Dominique, it's like if your daughter, who is 11 now, also, I don't know, sang the national anthem every day and had fighter jets fly over and also wrote on the floor of her room, I am awesome at doing taxes. Like, you know,
that would be the same thing. Yeah, that is the same thing. I would be very disappointed because, like, clearly on the floor.
I thought. Yeah, you were here to be awesome at doing taxes. It's on the end zone. Come on. What are you talking about?
Okay, so that was all very smart and an important conversation. But I'm a meatball sports fan, and I have to know, are the Bucks bleeped now that they don't have Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, and Leonard Fournette?
They were bleeped before that, and yes, they are bleeped now.
He matters, right? I mean, Gojo, like, I was looking at the stats of this team. Like, I was looking at the stats, guys. And by that, I mean, I clicked on the page that said Buccaneers on it and went to stats.
nice work.
No, what is he? Obviously a top five receiver on the team. But, like, in terms of targets, he clearly, Antonio Brown mattered to this team in a real way.
He did. And, I don't know. This team is, for the one being the one who we sold coming into the season as, hey, they return all the parts from a team that won a Super Bowl team last year. A lot of those parts we waved bye-bye to early in the season on defense for them. And now late in the season, we waved bye-bye to some important ones on offense. And some of the rest haven't performed in a way that's similar to last year, outside of Tom Brady, who's had a statistically fantastic season, was a borderline MVP season for a very large portion of this year. But yeah, in a world where especially Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay are playing as well as he has down the stretch of the season here, Tampa's probably bleeped, but mostly for the same reason that, like, the Ravens are bleeped, because at some point you're just too injured to be able to accomplish this thing.
Yeah, it's the most boring part of this conversation. I'm done with it.
Yeah. Yeah, like, is that enough meatball for you?
Sorry, yeah. Ruined that one.
Yeah.
We had hand metaphors up, hand up, and all bad. Of these metaphors my bad. Thrown at all right. You.
Next question. This is a real brain buster here. Did you learn more about the Bengals and the Chiefs yesterday?
Now that's a question. Okay. Now that's a question.
Alabaster producing. Make
noises. I love it.
Just affirmative noises in lieu of an answer.
You know, I mean.
Banana money.
I just.
Oh, was that Tim the Toolman?
Yeah! Yeah! Got it! Another very young reference.
Oh, man.
Shout out to Tim Allen, you problematic king.
I was hoping that you weren't just going to leave it and shout out to Tim Allen. Oh, man. Oh, Santa Claus.
Never watch Santa Claus and Wikipedia Tim Allen at the same time. Yes, it's a very, very cognitively dissonant.
It's like putting Christmas mayo on an Oreo.
We haven't even talked about this. Wait, Dominique. Gojo became an international villain.
Yeah. He got over Dionne the week. Warwick on that ass. That's, woo.
Yo, I wasn't ready Gojo, for that part. Gojo, I mean, if you were to rank the people who are angriest at you, who's on the medal stand?
Number one on that list definitely seems to be Australia. Like, the Australian media writing that I was, for some reason, and for anyone that missed it, during the Duke's Mayo Bowl, a bowl game that I was on call for, I decided to put mayo on a bunch of different foods because I'm sick. And I like to draw attention to myself.
Oh, we all ready.
Wow. Starting with what? Cream filled cookies.
Nice.
You first. Thanks, man.
Looks great. Looks great.
Okay. Notice the mayo lapel pin, too.
Oh, you are a sellout. And it's a really interesting blend of flavors.
Thumbs up for me. A niche. Ugh.
You hit him with the interesting. Interesting is not a compliment, folks. I'll have you know.
You notice how I did like the Italian meme hands too, just instinctively?
Yeah, that is what you do when you
Gorlami.
When you are on a sponsored broadcast and you are not enjoying the experience. You're like, interesting. Now, interesting.
Yo, I'll say this, dead ass and hand to God, none of it tasted bad.
Oh.
None of it tasted good bad.
You are still,
I believe it.
Like, I wouldn't go back and do it again, maybe except for the donut, but the rest of it, nah, I'm good.
I mean, you made it uncrustable.
It's blank.
No, this is the one with the tang. Dominique, this is the one with the tang.
Oh, right? Yeah, it's got the tang?
Oh, yeah, tang. Marcus Spears is contractually telling us it's got the twang, too. I didn't realize that until I was watching the commercials later on. Marcus got the Duke's bag.
Marcus Spears, love him, deserves the Duke bag, but why isn't Mike Golic Jr.? Why isn't Mike Golic Jr. also getting some of that
twangy-tangy
back?
I'm sure it's coming. After the numbers he did on social, like, they better throw a twangy-tangy bag at this man. I'm sure that you did big numbers for Dukes. How many tubs of Dukes you think you sold?
Oh, I mean, that has to be the most free advertising they've ever gotten. So, to answer Pablo's original question, too, this resulted in an Australian media outlet printing that I was the reason that America was beyond saving. Now, let that sink in after the last 3 years. Then, Dionne Warwick, as you see in the tweet right here, came after, and I say this at the very least, the reason she's not first, she went paid leave. And Miss Warwick, while I still am not sorry for what I did, I do thank you for your mercy.
Oh, man. Is there a bronze? Well, I feel like there's no one who can come close to those two enormous names. In Australia, you stop it. You guys would trade places with us any day
Absolutely.
Of the week.
Absolutely.
You guys eat about Vegemite.
Chill out, Australia.
Have you ever seen the inside of a kangaroo pouch, Australia? You're talking to us?
Disgusting. Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful country.
Put another mayo shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah, what they did to their indigenous people parallels our terrible indigenous record.
That is true.
A prison colony that only knows how to hurt. I agree.
But just to be fair, they said that America can't be saved because of that. Like, let's be honest. Australia would trade places with America immediately. On site.
Oh, yeah.
Given
the
opportunity to pull a switched at birth, they would do that right away. Oh, yeah, Freaky Friday.
Size-wise, would they be basically the same size? I know Australia is probably bigger than I'm giving credit for, but is it basically U.S. size?
It's a whole continent, though. Like, gotta respect that. That deserves some respect. Be an entire continent.
That's just feels like they were being selfish, though. Like, plenty of the rest of us could be an entire continent.
Why isn't America its own continent? Yeah, right. That's, you know what?
Because we were welcoming enough to, Satan, I don't know, let Canada and Mexico hang out with us. Yeah, that's as soon as it left my mouth, I was like, what am I talking about?
I loved it. I loved it.
We came over here and took the entire continent. Now I'm going to say, yeah, we opened the door for us. That's the whitest thing I've done in a while.
I don't know how we wound up. The discomfort on your face when you were like, hold on. I am a heterosexual white male out here saying that America is good.
Preaching about racist Pangea. How do we do this undebatable today?
Oh, man. I would like to redact and apologize for everything I just said here. Let's get back to talking about something I know, like mayonnaise.
Oh, man. I mean, he really wants us to talk about these teams. He really wants us to talk about
these teams. Alabaster has been frantically waving all sorts of hands, both his actual ones and tiny plastic ones. And
making
a
show for the viewers, guys.
Yep, that's right.
It was bigger deal for the Bengals. Yeah. I think that game, the way that they hung with the defending conference champions is something that I don't think that they knew they could do, and that they didn't necessarily believe that they could do it until they actually did it. And to come back from down two scores, two separate occasions, like right on the cusp of entering the playoffs, I do think means a lot for them, their confidence at this point in the season. I think the Chiefs, they're the Chiefs. We respect the Chiefs, even though they've blown several games this season.
No, I mean, Gojo, I think about hoodie mellow, to bring an NBA metaphor. Like when Carmelo Anthony has the hoodie, he is like virtually unstoppable. Cigar Joe Burrow, is maybe the greatest player in football history when you take into account LSU Cigar Joe Burrow and now this version of AFC North King Joe Burrow, passing for like 1,000 yards in two games. This one, 446 yards, 30 of 39, four touchdowns. Helping Jamar Chase set the rookie receiving record for a single game, 266 yards on like a bazillion catches or whatever. That offense looks like it can be unstoppable at times, and I did not put them into that class before yesterday. So that's
Jamar
what I learned
Chase
about
was
that.
Doing high school plays out there. Like the type of stuff that you see on high school highlight tapes where you're like, oh, that kid ain't like the rest. He was doing that for the entire game. It was crazy.
I will say part of this, too, is also, like, while we clearly see the Bengals are capable of overcoming their clear Achilles heel, like, Joe Burrow was also sacked in that game, I believe, for the 49th time this season. Like, he gets hit a lot still, and that ended his year early last year. But they've been so productive and prolific around him, especially for Jamar Chase in the last two games here. But part of that was also just inexplicably why Kansas City felt like in critical moments continuing to put their corners on an island against a guy who was taking their lunch and eating it in front of them in that spot. So I think Cincinnati's clearly proved they're going to go in as a team capable of winning a playoff game, maybe two in that spot. And I'm with you, as long as Kansas City gets healthy, because during the course of that game, both their starting tackles were down. They had to kick Joe Tooney, who's a well-paid guard, out to left tackle, and it changed a lot of what they had to do on offense while they were trying to mount this comeback. Wow. And we had our usual yearly bout of what was Andy Reid doing in the last 2 minutes of this game that all of a sudden now, I still don't worry about Kansas City, but a lot of that was also about Kansas City. And we have to talk about Joe Burrow code switching via picture in this.
oh, was there a Joe Burrow?
It's a great move. So for the podcast audience, on the left side is Joe Burrow and two friends who have a lot more melanin than the two friends on the right side with a different photo. On the left side,
that text message. What was that?
Oh yeah. Oh, what was that? Alabaster, what are you hiding?
He got a text message that he had to swipe away.
Alabaster's showing us his phone, and he immediately went to go hide. I think he's getting good feedback on racist Pangea. He didn't want to show us.
We gotta let that die from my man
Kojo. Dukes Mayo, who said, "Thank you for the free pub."
Yeah. Now, no. Let's stop it from being free, Dukes Mayo.
Yeah. Let's monetize that. Oh no, I did it. I did it.
You did. I think the most important or the most interesting thing from this game is the fourth down decisions of Zach with no H Taylor, just Z-A-C.
No K either.
Had we met a Zach without an H or a C before? Is he the first that you guys have met? He's the first
I'm assuming that it's short for something, Zachary, Zachariah, something like that, right?
It has to be. What if it's like Jimmy Butler where it's just Jimmy?
I don't know, maybe. Anyway, the fourth down decisions. Like that was, I am a pro aggressive on fourth down guy, but for them to do that and to do it twice and I mean, Joe Burrow seemed to get injured in that situation, to reference the issues you were having before. I have yet to find a analytics nerd or a or a football jock who's like, yeah, that was the decision. It was amazing. Everyone was like, what are you doing?
Also, why didn't the Chiefs let them score there? Once you get a first down inside the one, like, what are we doing?
It was one of the most confusing drives I've ever seen. It was 15 plays. There were seven of them at the one-yard line alone. The clock just drained because there were all these penalties, and then Brandon Allen had to come in because Joe Burrow got his knee hurt, and he had to go kneel and spike the ball and then kick the field goal to win the thing. I didn't understand anything about what I saw. All I knew was that it was very chaotic. And yeah, made everybody seemingly very angry because, yeah, nobody wanted this to go that way.
Listening to, I think it was Romo doing this game, listening to him tiptoe around this topic was thoroughly enjoyable. Like, it added to the fun because, like, most commentators, which baffles my mind, why they don't either have an analytics expert there or they become more well-versed in the analytics of a situation if they're going to do games. But he was like, I don't know. Like, what do you do here? I go for it. No, kick it. Analytics. I don't know. Maybe. He seemed as confused as I was in the moment, which is like, I am not doing any type of big football games right now. I like to think if I was, I'd be completely comfortable with discussing the fourth down decision. So I don't know. It was fun, confusing, but I mean, Gojo, was there
they
any...
No, Gojo, there should be – Dominique gave us a great idea. There should be a nerd, not in the booth, because let's not ask for so much because we're not there yet. But
we've
like
got a
if
way
you
to
have Mike Pereira – yes, if you have Mike Pereira there and all those other dudes, the party bus guy whose name I forget. What was his name? The former VP of officiating, party bus guy, Cowboys party bus guy. Anyway, you have all of these refs on call. Have a nerd on call. You can wear a pocket protector, make you feel comfortable.
Yeah, lean into
inside
it.
Inside of a locker. No. You open up a locker. And
I love that idea.
Inside is a
stuffed
nerd.
Into the locker.
Yes. I love that idea with glasses, with tape in the middle and everything. Just get him a complete Steve Urkel.
And just wedgied to his nipples.
Yeah, and he has to start every sentence with, well, actually, and then go into his analysis. just push it up. Well, actually, and then hit us with the analysis that clearly they need.
Yes. Dean Blandino, by the way, shout out to you, Party Bus King. The opposite end of the spectrum from guy in locker is ref walking off a party bus, incidentally.
I forgive Dean Blandino. Like, in the middle of negotiations with the NFL, I was the president of the Players Association. If Jerry Jones had been like, hey, want to go for a ride on the party bus?
You're only human, Dominique.
I don't know. I might have hopped on that. Like, whew, I don't know what's happening on that bus, but I want to find out. So good for you, Dean Blandino. Are we done with this one? Did we football it enough for him?
We don't. I mean, Gojo, we'd both be on that party bus too. Out of journalistic spirit, we'd all be there.
Absolutely.
With Duke's Mayo,
it's basically the party bus of
drinking Dukes.
On to the next one.
Let me get a bag too, Dukes. Delicious.
Where do you stand with the Cardinals after their win over the Cowboys?
I don't know, Dukes. Dukes is Dukes on Duke's mayonnaise. I think the Cardinals will be a lot better and the Cowboys will be a lot better if they slathered themselves in Dukes before every game.
My favorite part of that answer was when I began to believe Dominique was about to answer it.
Now I've started putting Dukes on my elbows and knees. It's a little bit better than lotion. And then I drink a little Dukes for breakfast. Put a little Dukes in my hair. Keep it shiny.
You know what? In some cultures, I think that's not so crazy.
It's also a powerful aphrodisiac.
Oh, let me tell you. You add it to some things, but we're on Disney, so I won't get into all the ways that we use Dukes around here. But Dukes, man, I love you, Dukes.
The right amount of viscosity.
Yeah, just go ahead and follow me and slide in them DMs, Dukes, with some cash.
Cover your DMs in Dukes and then slide into them. Hey, let's talk about the Cardinals. So, okay.
Oh, man.
So, Gojo, I want to bring a fact in that will, I think, appeal to your demo, which is not just the man who loves mayonnaise, but also a man who loves line play. Rodney Hudson, the Cardinal center, is back, and it feels like that's made Kyler Murray comfortable. It just seems like it's a good thing that he has the guy who gives him the ball every play, like, back in his life. And I was ready to go on the whole, like, there were so many tweets, I think, left in drafts about how Cliff Kingsbury is choking away the Cardinal season. And I feel like he's going to get some credit for not doing that, but I also feel like there are other factors we should discuss as to why the Cardinals just snapped a three-game losing streak.
No, there are, and listen, the Cardinals, I mean, have played portions of this year with, like, a third-string center in. It's been bad news, but I do want to give Cliff some credit, especially with the offensive play calling, because when we look on one side at Kellen Moore and this offense that was supposed to be what it was the first quarter of the season and what it's looked like now, which is quite frankly, like, the word that kept popping up for me was slow. The offense looked slow. It looked stuck in the mud. And when you're not getting production out of your ground game in the way that they were, that kind of subverts everything that you're trying to do. You become largely inefficient versus, I mean, on the other side, I know Kyler Murray is a different weapon at quarterback, but I also thought play calling wise, the Cardinals put themselves in a lot of advantageous situations. They had some creative wrinkles, especially on third down to ice the game away at the end, down in the red zone earlier on in that game. But the biggest thing that surprised me was just they controlled the line of scrimmage on the defensive side in a way that I was not ready for. And I know Chandler Jones is a name that we all know, respect, and love, but it was a total unit-wide effort for them to basically push around the Cowboys up front. And if that's going to keep happening, then the Cowboys are going to fall well short of what they want.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys have been underwhelming offensively for a long stretch with the one game, with the exception of one game where they destroyed the Washington football team. So I think we have to accept that this is who the Cowboys are now. Like, I've been holding on to the hope that this was some momentary aberration and that the real Cowboys are more like what we saw beginning of this season and the beginning of last season before Dak got hurt. In both situations, last year he missed the rest of the season, and this year he came back and they were less than. So I just assume that he would get healthy and they would get right. They are not – it's not going to happen. Like, this is who they are. They're a team that is reliant on a defense to make incredible turnovers consistently, which is not something you can rely on. So as much as we all want the Cowboys to be competitive and interesting – well, they are still interesting. I think we have to accept that – no, they're a high volatility team. They're not a team that you can trust, sadly.
Well, I will also say this, like, it ended up being a one score game against a double digit win team,
right,
too. So, like, these were two very and it wasn't that way until the end. But Dominique, your point also, I think, is, and I remember talking to Amber Wilson about this when she was filling in with us, like,
name drop.
The Cowboys are a defensive football team now. Like, they're a defensive-led football team, and that unit, especially in the front seven for them, is incredibly fast. Like, I talked about how the Cowboys looked slow in certain spots. Up front eight, one of them on the defensive side of the football, and that was able to really, from the second quarter on yesterday, get them back in that game.
The thing that really does make me laugh, though, about the aftermath of this game is how the Cowboys seemingly pretty unanimously all decided to talk about the refs. And I understand how this is a thing that everyone who just lost a close game is tempted to do. But if you're the Cowboys and you're alleging a refereeing conspiracy, while at the same time there is an ongoing countervailing media public conspiracy to keep you alive for our purposes, it just doesn't really fly, Alabaster, is my point on that.
So I agree with you, but I think congratulations are in order. We talked about the Cowboys, and Dominique did not carry water for Dak Prescott.
Wow. Well, you know what? Progress is a thing we should be celebrating in 2022. Dominique decided not to praise the guy that he had previously labeled as better than Tom Brady in a very famous article on ESPN.com. Congratulations to you, Dominique.
It was on the undefeated, and I guess that still technically is a part of ESPN. But
shout out to the undefeated.
I can't do anything but say what I see. And I do think that the problems are larger than Dak, but I do think that he's had some issues he struggled with. And that when you build up a certain level of credibility, it's going to take more than a couple of weeks for me to distrust you. And now we are at the point where I think we have to accept that Dak Prescott is not the person that, or not the quarterback that he was at the beginning of the season. Maybe it's because of injuries. Maybe it's because of Kellen Moore. But not for one second do I think that he's not an elite quarterback in this league. And I would not be surprised if he just went off in the playoffs and dragged this team to a championship. That seems just as likely as him stepping in the playoffs and being trash. So you are looking for the water. I found it.
Yeah, don't so now what happened? Gremlins. This is what just happened, Gojo. So instead of carrying water straight up, what he did was what the Duke's Mayo Bowl did. He had to take his pure uncut Duke's Mayo and pour some water into it to make it that much easier to go down in public.
Yeah, so they gave him a mayo bath, and it was like an orchestrated mayo bath, right? They have to Beamer, right? Didn't he get the mayo bath?
Yep.
It was like orchestrated post-game. And they also hit him in the head with the
really hard.
Yeah, with the Gatorade thing. Or I guess it's not a Gatorade thing, with the mayo jug.
Mayo thing.
Which was confusing to me.
I understand
if it happens on the sideline, the players just like get a little sloppy with it. But we had him sitting. We were ready to do this.
I will say this based on some behind the scenes info I had about how they went about preparing for this is they had done a couple of test dumps. But they had done them without a dummy in place that would have been the height of the head. And so you got like 4.5 gallons of mayonnaise and water is pretty heavy. And I don't think the people involved accounted for how high they would have to hold and dump over the top of a human head.
Right.
And thus we had a situation where combined with, I think, a little more like rich viscosity than they were ready for, we almost had a bucket that clubbed Shane Beamer to like the point of unconsciousness.
So it has been confirmed that they add water to that mayo because like
they cut it.
So yeah. I'm not sure that I believe that that's the right decision. This is going to be my first criticism of anyone involved with my fine friends at Duke Mayonnaise. It's like in that moment, more people are going to see your mayonnaise than ever before. This is going to be the high point of your mayonnaise. You don't want to put out a fake mayonnaise. You want to put that thing thick. Let it ooze slow so people can see how thick and delicious the mayo is. So next year, let's just get like a nice, we can do like a bucket on a string, classic Nickelodeon style, to avoid the concussion, pull it, and then it's going to take 30 seconds to let that thick, delicious mayo slide on out. Just let it come out and slowly.
I don't want milky mayo.
The coach should not be allowed to wear a hat. I think Shane pulled off a ruse with that. He had a hat on to kind of cover the front. I want you to have to wear it to bask in it.
All right, guys, we have another tweet from Duke's Mayo before we move on to our final topic, and that is, at Debatable, we are currently filling the bag for all three hosts. Greatest show ever.
Man, mayo, Duke's mayonnaise.
And speaking of the Duke's Mayo Bowl, we can talk about college football. Is the college football playoff broken?
I don't know. How does Dukes feel about the current state of college football playoffs? Because that's how I feel about it.
I think they actually believe that the Mayo Bowl should be the national championship, which I also firmly endorse. So congratulations to South Carolina, your national championship.
I'm sick of these selfish players. You need to show up and play in all the games, especially the Mayo Bowl. Like, that is...
Love the Mayo as much as we love the Mayo.
For the love of the Mayo, like, I am staunchly opposed to Kurt Herbstreit's opinions about players being different and whatever, not loving the game, unless it applies to the Duke's Mayo Bowl, in which case... You better not opt out. You better don't. You better show up. You better put some mayo in your shoes and run around that field.
For what it's worth, Sam Howell, the draft eligible quarterback for North Carolina, did play in that game. So he must have heard this go back in the past for you.
He didn't have to hear it. He just knows. It's a thing that we all know and understand. If it was any other bowl, if he was in the playoffs, he would, I don't know. Think about it. But that Mayo Bowl, boy, the siren song of the Mayo Bowl is undefeated.
That's right. Tie me to a post. Tie me to a post as the siren song fills my ears with its sweet, sweet lullaby.
16-game playoff. Like, I don't know. Like, to be honest with you, the capitalism in all of this is uncomfortable. And people say players get paid now. They aren't getting paid for the work that they're doing. They're getting paid for being associated with it. So, like, expanding the playoff, having a playoff, all of it feels gross until you start paying the employees, honestly.
Okay, so that is the caveat, right? In the same way that we have to put a big asterisk that says mental health on Antonio Brown, we put a big asterisk on this one that says you need to compensate the players with a fair share of their work, for a fair share of their work with actual, you know, American racist Pangea currency. But the idea that this is broken beautiful in the first matter. Place, Gojo, is it broken? What are we really talking about here?
No, it's not. And I've seen a lot of the complaints about this. Like, one of the greatest pastimes in college football is complaining about whatever system we currently have to decide a national champion. We did it when people were, you know, assigning national championships and claiming national championships pre-BCS. We did it for the BCS. We're going to do it for the 14 playoff. And if we expand, which I imagine we will, because the bodies of the young men involved here are really the last thing we actually consider when making these decisions, I'd imagine that the playoff is going to get expanded at some point. And even then, we are going to find a way to complain about that, because the cold reality of all of this is no amount of expansion, no amount of changing the format is going to change the fact that very few programs have the resources, competent coaching, and overall dedication to football to actually compete on the level of Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, and the few others that circulate around this orbit near the top of the sport right now. And as many have pointed out, Matt Browning does a great newsletter about the business of college sports. Unless you want to do things like affect scholarship limits or impose higher level sanctions like that, that'll really even out the talent, you're always going to get some version of this, because college football has always had some version of this.
Cooking. Cook them, Gojo. Mm. He was hot.
All of us scorching. Doing the Italian, yes. The Italian hand gesture.
That's a spicy Gojo. Is that racist?
Probably
a little bit, but
my bad.
Yeah.
I do think though, like, we get hung up in compensating the players, and we also get hung up in defending players who want to opt out of any bowl game. Like, I would defend a player who opted out of the playoffs or the championship game. Like, we get hung up on that and caught in that because we're thinking of them risking not getting the money that they would otherwise get in the NFL or getting access to.
Yeah.
I think that what is also important to know is that having the players established as amateurs and not as employees, like, that affects all the players, not just the star guys. And so aside from the money that they could all make, and even maybe some guys low on the roster don't make any money, it is saving them a great deal of money. So, like, I played college football, obviously, and still stay in touch with some of my teammates, most of them did not play in the NFL. But since they were designated as not employees, that they were doing extracurricular activities, the many surgeries that they have to get because of knee replacements, hip replacements, reconstructions to shoulders and fingers, and maybe even the side effects of traumatic brain injury, like, all of that, it's just theirs. Like, they can't get workers' comp. They can't sue the institutions. They have to find a way to pay for that. And depending on their insurance, depending on their access to employment going forward, like, that has to come out of some of their pockets. And so I understand that people are emotional, as we've talked about a bunch in this show, and people who are middle class or lower, like, look at these players and get jealous and like, man, they shouldn't get money. I didn't get no money. So look at the other players. If that's what you need, the vast majority of the players will be leaving with some sort of ailment that's going to cost them money, particularly in a game like football. No one plays college football for however amount of time and does not leave with something that lingers on them and that they are going to have to pay for because of this ridiculous farce that is amateurism. I think I just tried to just coast on Gojo's cooking. I did a little
no but Dominique, it's a great point too, because a lot of people are also blaming the playoff for players opting out of other bowls and the things like that, but the power structure you just mentioned is really what's at the heart of that, right? Players are forced to make the decision in their best interest, one, because the system is clearly not doing them any favors around them in the ways that you just described, and two, they take their cues from all the adults in the room who constantly make the best decision for themselves. And the million bowl games that we saw this year, coached by people that weren't the head coach during the regular season, who, again, I will not fault for making the right decision for themselves and their families, but as we've heard, like, this isn't original content, this is the constant rallying cry of, you know, what's good for one has to be good for the other, especially when the other isn't designated an employee, has a limited window to go out here and earn, or at the very least, enjoy playing the game that they've worked their whole lives to get to this point for. Yeah.
Well, no, actually, Alabaster, take your pen and your tiny plastic hand. Just cross out the word playoff for us, if you will. And we can all just say, yes, actually, college football is broken. And the only reason we're having this conversation again is because these semifinals were blowouts. That's how we got from A to B. We want better semifinal games.
Chef Golic Jr., well, what you got?
I would just also say, like, the idea of college football, like, it has been broken in all those ways, but college football right now is different, and we're in a period where we've got to figure out how to adjust, because if people want things to resemble a game where players would want to stay around, you're going to have to realize the only way to do that is by incentivizing them to do so, and that goes back to Dominique's point. Until you're going to start paying people and actually making them employees here, then they don't owe you a damn thing when it gets to this point.
So, I think it also, like, goes back to the point we were making in the earlier segment, is that these things aren't alive. They aren't people. They are like ruthless constructs that we can't expect to treat people fairly or be honest. So, like, you remember those commercials that they would have, like, we have a million trillion players and most of them are going to go pro in something that is not their sport. Yeah, so let's do the honest version. Is we got a million trillion players and most of them will have knee surgery and then have to carry that along with them for the rest of their lives when they have to get replacement. That's not going to work, huh? But we cannot take care of them because then we won't make as much money. Tune in Saturday.
Well, and like the tough part of all this is like, I say this as someone who makes money off college, covering college football now.
Don't mess up your bag, baby.
Well, it's not even that. Like, I also love college football. Like, college football also helped my life in a number of ways, and in a way that I'm sure a number of players would point to also. And that's the difficult part is there's a thing that we love, and there is things that are good that would, I think, be a lot easier to talk about as much as we want to if we also acknowledge the things that need fixing and the things that need work and treated them with a little more urgency than the vast majority of people who just want to keep things the way that they are for their own comfort.
Dominique is raising his hand. He's putting his palm forward. Dominique, yes.
Take out college football, drop in America. Like, it's like everything you said is like,
Alabama, cross out college football on the card and write in America, please.
Yeah. See how that goes over.
is amazing. And I enjoy it as much as the next guy. But that doesn't mean that we cannot also like point out that it is lopsided and unfair, and that trying to fix it and make it closer to what it says it wants to be is not going to ruin it. Whatever.
No, I love college football more than any other sport in the world. And exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually, as I believe what James Baldwin said about the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Yeah,
man, nothing better. Wow. Add that to the list of make yourself seem smart moves. Quote James Baldwin. If you quote James Baldwin, you're killing them.
Mayo, I feel like drop.
He is just popular enough that most people know who he is, but it's not like you're going with MLK because that's a
mainstream poser.
But you don't want to go way off on a tangent because then people won't know who your reference is. Baldwin, right in that sweet spot.
Something I agree.
Intellectual.
Just smart enough to where people aren't going to want to admit they don't know either.
Let's move to France. Anybody want to move to France? I'm down. Let's
They love mayo over there. I don't know if they love the tangy twangy tangy tang twang.
They better. They know what's good for them. They would trade places with us too. Them in Australia fight to That's be right. America.
That's right.
We still should fix America though.
Happy New Year, I guess. Is Happy it? New Year.
Are we too far away yet? How many days? What's the grace period?
I think it's the third. We're good.
Yeah, we're good for another 7 days at least.